right. There's a question that people ask themselves throughout the course of their life. And maybe you can think about this. Maybe you've asked yourself this question recently. Maybe you've yet to ask yourself this question. And you're just kind of like, I'm living life and what happens, happens. I'm just going along. But a lot of times people get to the point where they ask this question, why am I here? Has anybody ever asked that before? Anytime. Why am I here? You know, you get to a point in life, you're like, you're going through the grind or whatever, and you're like, why am I here? You know, what is the point? What is the point of all this? This is hard. This stinks. It is not going the way I want. Why am I here? Would anybody miss me if I was gone, all right? Hopefully you're not going that deep, but sometimes we do, okay, if we're just being honest, okay? Sometimes you just want to know, why are we here? And when people wonder why they're here, okay, they don't know their purpose. Or maybe they knew their purpose and they've forgotten what their purpose is, right? They might know when they were born, but not why they were born, all right? They might know why or when they wake up each morning, but not really why they wake up each morning. Every man, woman, and child, it is so important that they know their purpose, okay? Even children, I highly encourage you, men and women in this place, to tell children their purpose, right? Tell them what their purpose is in your life as a parent. You know, be encouraging them. Here's what we appreciate you doing. Build them up, lift them up, let them know their purpose. Because if you know and you walk in your purpose, there's something that happens. You feel fulfilled. You feel fulfilled, and to be fulfilled is to be satisfied. See, people seek fulfillment every day. All day, every day, people are seeking fulfillment. They want to feel good. But the problem is, when you don't clearly know your purpose, you look to the wrong things for fulfillment. You know that? If you don't know what your purpose is, you're going to look to the wrong things for fulfillment. Sin. That's where sin comes in. You wonder why we struggle so much with sin? We're looking for some kind of fulfillment in that moment. And that is what we think provides it. And it may temporarily. Do you know that the main reason we sin is for fulfillment? To satisfy the flesh. To satisfy our desires, our sinful nature. But I'm going to tell you something else about fulfillment. It means something else too. Not just satisfy. It also means to carry out, to obey or follow commands. See, when we fulfill our sinful nature, here's what we do. We are carrying out the plans and we are obeying the commands of the enemy. That's what we're doing in sin. We're carrying out the plans of the enemy in our life. We're obeying his commands. This is the path that people go on when they don't know their purpose. Okay, and I know people sin every day. Nobody's perfect. But when we're in that moment of weakness, we're not remembering our purpose. We're trying to fulfill our flesh. We're trying to satisfy how we feel. So I would say, if I was to ask here in this church, know everybody pretty well, if I was to ask everybody right now, how many of you believe that God has a purpose for your life, probably almost every hand would go up, except for the people that you just refuse to raise your hand about anything. Right? Giving away free hundreds, raise your hand. For some of you, would still be like, not doing it. Don't want it. I do want it. I ain't raising my hand. Okay, if I was to ask, do you believe God has a purpose for your life? You probably would raise your hand. Most people would. Now, if I was to follow that up with, do you know what God's purpose is for your life? Half or more of those hands would go down. Right? I know God has a purpose for me, but I don't know what it is. It'd be much, much fewer. One of the biggest lies of the enemy in this world and in the church is they believe, people believe the enemy when he says God doesn't have any use for you. When he says God can't use you. When he says God doesn't want you. That is the biggest lie of the enemy. It's the most destructive because people believe it. Right? People believe that, especially because when they're hearing that, they're in a moment of weakness. Right? They're not walking in the purpose, so they believe this lie of the enemy. You start to believe, I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I've messed up too much. I've blown it. Right? These are lies. They're not true. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. That's why you're here. All right? Say, God has a plan and purpose for my life. Okay, now say it. Man, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. Say it like you mean it. All right. There we go. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, if he didn't, you would not be here. You wouldn't be on this earth if he didn't have a plan and a purpose for your life. So that's what we're going to look at today is purpose. Continuing this series in Christ. If you remember the last few weeks, we looked at being a saint. We looked at being blessed. We looked at being chosen, being redeemed. And today we're looking at purpose. Writer Thomas Carle said, a man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. A waif and a nothing and a no man. Right? A man without a purpose is like a ship without a rudder. There's just, you're just going wherever. You got no control, not doing much, not accomplishing anything. So what is this purpose? We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. Verse 9 through 12 says this, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him we also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. It's kind of a mouthful, but when you read it, if you read it over and over, you can read it some more at home. It's great stuff. This is a continuation, again, of the previous verses. It comes right on the heels of redemption. It's a continuation, same sentence, right after redemption. In Christ, your penalty for sin, which is death, has been paid in full. You're freed and you're redeemed. And then Paul continues on that thought and he says, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. God's made known to us the mystery of his will. This mystery has been revealed in Christ. This mystery is ultimately God revealing the rest of the redemption plan. That's why it follows right after redemption. It goes right in line. Ultimately, he's revealing the rest of the redemption plan. You know, Jesus came and died not just for the Jews. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, if you're not Jewish in this room, you ought to be pretty thankful for that. He came and died not just for the Jews, but also for us, for the Gentiles, all people. He died for the church, which is his body, not a building, but his body, that all who are redeemed would be united with him regardless of their birthplace or their origin of birth, their birth line. This is part of your purpose in Christ. You were created for God's pleasure. Okay, Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Everything that has been created was created for a purpose. Yours is to know and to love and to praise God. That's your purpose, okay? We're going to get much, much deeper in that. See, most of us believe that we were created by God, right? Are we all creationists in here, I hope? We all believe we were created by God, but you should just as much believe that you were created for God, right? Why would he create you just to run around and tear up his earth, right? We weren't just created by him. We were created for him. This mystery has been revealed that you were created because God loves and wants you. Like, that's part of this mystery. God, he created you because he loves you and because he wants you. This is according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. This is all part of his plan. for you to be redeemed and reconciled with him, to have eternal purpose, to be with him. Now I'm gonna say something here, and you've probably heard this before. I think I might have joked a little bit about this last week, but do you realize that you are truly one of a kind? Right? You are unique. There is none like you. Now some of you are like, praise God, there's only one like me. Some of you are thinking that about the person sitting next to you, right? Praise God, there's only one like them. You are truly unique. You know, you might have a blend of your parents' features, physical features, of their personalities, of different things, but you know that you are unique. You're a masterpiece, an original. And sometimes I think, we believe Satan's lies that we are useless, that we are hopeless. I think sometimes people think that God maybe put us here as some kind of experiment, right? Let's just see how bad he can really mess things up. You know, how far he can go and what I'm going to have to dig him out of. God did not make us as a test subject to see how bad we can mess things up. Okay? To give him some kind of challenge, right? Like, oh, well, he was pretty easy. Now I'll make him. We'll see if I can figure this one out, right? That's not how it works. God doesn't work like that. God doesn't play games with people's lives. Satan does that. God doesn't play games with our lives. God creates and he saves. And then he creates and he saves. And he creates and he saves, right? He created this earth and he's going to have to save this earth from our destruction. He created people and he's going to save people from their destruction. God creates and he saves. And I'm going to tell you that God is the hero in every story. Right? I mean, superheroes are huge right now. And I like watching the Avengers and all those kinds of things. But God is the true hero in every story. That's why we love testimonies. That's part of why Cameron's testimony was so powerful. You know what? It's not just like, man, kudos to Cameron, you're awesome. No, God is the hero of that story, right? What God did. No, none of us could have done that. Praise you, God, because you are truly the hero, and he's the hero of every story. And you know, before you were even created, God knew the beginning and the end. And sometimes I think that we think that God starts with creation. That's what we see in the beginning of the word, right? God created. Genesis 1:1. Appear in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. Can I tell you a couple more mysteries today? First, the beginning of your Bible is not the beginning. Right? Do we know that? The beginning of the Bible is not the beginning. It's not God's beginning. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we're all here before Genesis 1:1. They were all here before that. They are God. God is eternal, has no beginning and no end. And I'm going to tell you another secret. We're going to reveal another mystery. Some of you already knew that one. God did not start mankind with creation. God started mankind with a purpose. The purpose came before the creation. God didn't just make us and like, I'll figure out what to do with them. I'll make them and we'll see what happens. God had a purpose before creation. He didn't start your life, you specifically, with creation. He started you with a purpose. He specifically designed you for a purpose. The simple fact that you exist is the evidence that you have value and that you have a purpose that no one else could fulfill. Otherwise, why would you need to be here? Someone else could just do it. This is why Jesus came and died that brutal death on a rugged cross. Because he says that you are worth it. He desires for you to live, not to die. And when you realize your value and your worth in God's eyes, you will start to value and have worth for your life the way that God does. Listen, knowing purpose should birth passion in our lives. If you have no passion, then look around. You probably don't know purpose. If you have no passion, if you're like, man, I'm not passionate about anything, you need to find purpose. Purpose will birth passion. This is why when people get saved, they get a little crazy, right? Saved people do crazy stuff that the rest of us don't even think about doing, right? Saved people will stand up on a chair in McDonald's and be like, I met Jesus. You need to know him too, right? Saved people will go and they'll tell people at work all about the experience they had, all about what Jesus did in their life, and they'll invite everybody to church and they'll do all these things. Some of you guys are sitting in these pews, been sitting here for 5 years and not invited a single person to church. A saved person comes and invites 20 people to church, right? Because their purpose is fresh, right? They're like, man, what God did in my life, my whole world's been turned upside down, and that purpose has birthed passion in their life. The problem is that people forget their purpose and they lose their passion. If you forget your purpose, you will lose your passion. We must remember our purpose. Listen, never knowing your purpose is tragic. Okay, and there's people that are there. They've never known their purpose. But a loss of purpose is just as tragic in a person's life. Evangelist Miles Monroe said this. He said, the greater tragedy is not death, but life without purpose. The greater tragedy is not the unfortunate and untimely death, as terrible as that is, of a loved one in an accident. It's the millions upon millions who die every year having squandered their potential and their purpose by doing something else. Man, that's way worse, is living life with no purpose. Life is not simply lost by dying. Life is lost minute by minute. Minute by minute, day by day, by men and women that live life without a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Purpose before creation. Right there we see it in the scriptures. The purpose was there before the creation ever happened. He had those good works prepared, and then he created you to do them. Sometimes we look at our lives and sometimes all we can find is hurt. Right? Sometimes we go through days where all we can find is pain. All we can find is struggle. How many of you know that sometimes you can look around and all you see is trouble? Right? Trouble in front of me, trouble behind me, trouble to both sides. And these things can and sometimes do overtake your life. They completely overtake your life. Through these things, we allow Satan to whisper lies to us. And you ultimately may end up buying into them. I want you to hear me out right here. We hear Satan lie about our purpose. Sometimes we hear Satan say, it is finished. Right? You're done. There's nothing else that you can do. But I've got to tell you something. I think that I've heard that phrase before. Man, we have a Lord and a Savior that on a cross said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. You know what? Satan, you are finished. You know what? Death, you are finished. You know what? Debt that I owe, you are finished. Hopelessness, finished. Separation from the Father, finished. Man, don't you dare let Satan stand there and tell you that you are finished. You remind him that he is finished by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You stand up and you say, no, you are finished. Man, things are just beginning for me. I got a bright future. God has a purpose for you. And when Satan tells you that you are finished, don't you dare believe it, not for a second. Remind him. Say, God is not done with me yet. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that God is not done with you yet? How many of you would like to stay right where you're at and God never bring any progress to your life? No. Thank you, Jesus, that you are not done with me yet. If this is as good as I get, man, I feel sorry for you guys, right? I got a lot of improvement to go. I got a long ways to go. God has a purpose for our lives. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. You know, Christians use certain verses very frequently, and this is one of them. But you know what? How often have you heard that verse and you've heard that last part left off? The last part says, to those who are called according to his purpose. God does work together all things for the good of those who love him. But those who love him are those who are called according to his purpose. Those are the same people. If you love God, you're called according to his purpose. The reason he works things out for your good is for his purpose. The purpose that he has for your life. The reason that he created you. There are things that God has prepared for you to do. Don't ever believe that God has given up on you. Even when faithlessness starts to wane and you start to think, there's no way, I can't do this. Man, I'm going to tell you that your purpose remains. Regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you think, the purpose that God has for your life still remains. He still desires that for you. How many of you know people that start things and they never seem to finish things? It's frustrating, right? I have two books at home that I have two chapters left in. Two of them! When we went on vacation last year, I had two chapters left in the one book. I didn't take it. I don't know why. I took another book. And I read all but two chapters. Now I have two books at home with two chapters to go. And you know what? I'm going to have to reread the whole book because I don't remember what happened in the first however many chapters. Now, it's been long enough that I'm going to have to start those over. And that's frustrating to me. Okay? But it's frustrating when people begin things and they don't finish them. But I'm going to tell you that God is not like us. Again, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. He doesn't start something and then forget about it. Right? With a book, I'll read it and then like I'm busy. I'm like, I need to read my Bible, not that other book. And I'm not bashing other books. Man, read, educate yourself. But I'm telling you what I'll do is I'll be like, well, I can either read my Bible or I can read that book. That's all I have time for. So I'll read my Bible. And then next thing you know, I'm not reading the book. I forget about it. It just goes away from my memory. Man, God does not start something and forget about it. I'm going to tell you, I'll read a book and then I get busy. My schedule starts filling up and I'm like, I don't have time to sit and read a book. Man, I'm going to tell you that God does not get too busy with you or too busy to where he can't operate with you and then move on to something else. He doesn't get too busy for you. He continues to work. Sometimes I don't finish reading those books just because I'm lazy. I'm just going to tell you. I'd rather take a nap. I'd rather watch a ball game. I'd rather do pretty much anything except for read, okay? I don't like to read, actually. But I'm going to tell you that God doesn't start something and then give up because he's lazy. He's not like us. God follows through. And that's who we're supposed to be like. We're supposed to be like him. Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's work in you is a process. Say, it's a process. Okay, this means that you don't get saved and you're not made perfectly saint. You're not made perfectly holy and without any error, any flaw. Sanctification is the process of the Holy Spirit making you holy. What has been declared over your life spiritually, his job is to make that happen, right? To progress you in that, to make you more and more holy, more pure, free from sin, manifesting what Christ purchased on the cross into your life. He's not done with you yet. You have a purpose because he has a purpose for you. I'm going to tell you, I was talking with a couple of guys the other day, and we were talking about steak. How many of you in here love steak? Right? was like, if I'm going to die and I get one more meal, like, I want the biggest, I don't want any sides. Well, maybe mac and cheese with bacon in it. But I want a steak. Like, and when I say I want a steak, I want it to be good. All right? Not like a steak I would make on the grill. I want like a good steak. I want it to be fat. I want it to be juicy. I want it to be seasoned right. I want it medium, not medium well. I don't want it medium rare. I want it medium. Exactly how I want it. And you know what? No, I do not want steak sauce. If I do, then it means the steak is not good. Okay? We went to a steakhouse the other day. We had a gift card, and they didn't even ask me for steak sauce. And I was glad, because I really get kind of irritated when they do. Most of you are like, why would you get irritated? Because they're telling me already this steak's not going to be any good. You need something to cover it up. You need something to douse it in so you can eat it. Right? So I love steak. And I love good steak. And so I was with these guys the other day, and this topic came up of steak. And I was telling them about it. I had just eaten there. And I was like, man, that steak was so good. And the side was mac and cheese, like four cheese mac and cheese with bacon. Oh, it was so good. But the steak was amazing. And they're like, yeah, we like steak. It's pretty good. They both said they'd rather have one of those seasoned pork steaks from S&W. Now, those are good. But those aren't a beef steak, like a thick beef steak. And I really like those pork steaks, okay? But that's just not the same thing. And I was like, you would rather have a pork steak that they're like this thick than a big, fat, well-seasoned beef steak? And they're like, yeah. I said, well, sanctification is a process. God's not done with them yet. Hallelujah. Right? It's a process. They'll get there. Right? They'll become more holy and they'll begin to like beef steak over pork steak. God's not done with us yet. We've got to remember that. God is not done. So he's revealed this mystery of salvation and of redemption. He's revealed that it's available to all. Man, that is a glorious thing. It is literally available to every single human being living on this earth. And we have a purpose if we are in Christ. Back to Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 10, it said that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, we might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Man, there is a day where all will be gathered in Christ. This life, this earth will come to an end. It'll all be according to his plan, and Christ will rule over all things. It's going to be amazing. God has a plan to redeem and gather together this fragmented world and universe that we live in. It's all part of his plan. Okay? What a glorious day that's going to be. But for right now, we must find and walk in our purpose to do our part. Verse 11, he says, in him we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Man, if you are in Christ, then you have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance. All the riches that are in God are in Christ, and they're all yours. Man, that's great. That's amazing. But why? Why are all those riches available? Why are they made available to us? So we can have a good life, right? So we can live it up, right? No, it's so we can fulfill our purpose. It's to help us to do that purpose. That's why all those things are given to us. It's for his purpose. So that you can live for him, holy, set apart, uncommon, not like everybody else. Right? We want earthly riches so we can live like everybody else, right? Have all the things that we want. We're given spiritual riches so that we live like nobody else. so that we don't look like the people on the cover of the magazines. Which, by the way, if you go to the Dollar General and look at those magazines, I don't want to look like those people anyway. Man, I thought my life was rough at different points until you see some of those. You're like, man, they really got it rough, right? The money didn't fix it. We have those earthly riches so we don't look like anybody, or the spiritual riches so that we don't look like anybody else. That's the whole point. We're supposed to instead look like a functioning part of the body of Christ. Man, not doing the things that the world does, not desiring the things that they desire. If you're a functioning part of the body of Christ, you have those riches so that you can use them. Use your gifts and talents, your time, your finances to do your part in God's work. I know, we have it backwards on earth again. You work hard to get rich. God says, I'll make you rich, now go work hard. That's what we do with the spiritual riches. Go get to work now. You want this and you want that? Here you go. Now go use them for his glory. That is his will for us. That is his purpose, that you be unlike others and that you be like Jesus. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which has been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Look at this. That through these you may be partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Man, that is our purpose. It's to be born again. It's to be a new creation. It's to be indwelt by the Spirit of God to do his work, to do his will, to fulfill his purpose for us on this earth. Colossians 1:27, to them God willed to make known that there are riches of glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the riches. That's the mystery of the riches, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we grasp our position in Christ, it's only then will we really truly grasp our purpose on this earth. If you're in Christ, listen, you are a saint. We've been through this. We went through this a few weeks ago. You're in Christ, you're a saint. You have to know that God has a purpose, then that he created you to fulfill the purpose. He took you, carefully, skillfully, intentionally crafted you with a certain personality, with certain gifts, with certain talents. And then this is the hard part for us. He allowed experiences in this life to shape you and to strengthen you for his purpose. So you have the personality you have. You have the gifts, the talents you have, and you've been through the junk that you've been through, all for his purpose. It doesn't make those things easy to go through, but I'm telling you, it's for his purpose. Those things have strengthened you. How many of you today think that you would be the person that you are today, in a good way, if you hadn't been through some of the junk you've been through in your life? I mean, I would not be who I am today if I hadn't been through some hard stuff in my life. I know many of you guys' testimony, and you can say the same thing. He uses those things to shape you and strengthen you. See, we always think of just the shaping, you know, like the potter and the clay. Yeah, that's cool too, but it's also to strengthen you. You're strengthened by the stuff you've been through, because the next time you've got a little thicker skin, right? And you're like, I know how to attack this. I know what God can do in my life. That is why we are all needed for the kingdom. We all have specific personalities, gifts, talents. We've all been through different things. And it's why we're all needed for the kingdom. There's a couple things. First, just the fact that God wants you. That he wants you. That he created you. That he loves you. That he desires time with you. That he wants to bless you. That his heart is for you. But secondly, I'm going to tell you this. The church, the body of Christ, needs you. Listen, God doesn't need you. God wants you. The body needs you. There are things that are a part of your purpose that only you can do. There are people that you can reach that others can't, right? There's influence that you have that others don't have. There's roles that you play in people's lives that other people can't reach. Every day is important. Every single day. God has a plan, and he says that in Christ, you are able, you are capable to do what it is that he's calling you to do. Now, in closing here, I want to say, listen, we have big things in our purpose, and we may have little things in our purpose, and they're both equally important. Do them as though you're doing them for the Lord. You want to know what your purpose is, that's it. Your purpose is fellowship with God, salvation, redemption, all of that. Beyond that, it's to do everything that you do as though you're doing it for the Lord. That is your purpose. See, I think there's times where we complicate things, where we're trying to figure out what we are to do. Right? You spend your whole life trying to figure out the what. What should I do? And like, okay, I've had some decisions in my life where I'm like, God, like, I literally need you to speak to me. Like, audibly, I need you to write it, like, do one of those things where you write it on the wall, but I can take a picture of it so I don't forget it or something. But I need you to actually just tell me what to do, and I can get so caught up on that, what I'm supposed to do, that everything else in my life suffers. And all the other stuff that I'm doing, I'm just doing. They're just, whatever happens, happens, because I'm so consumed with this what. Sometimes we can complicate this, and we try to figure out what to do. Am I called to do this? Do I feel like doing this? I don't want to do this. But God, what are you telling me to do? Listen, just do the things that you're doing for him, and that's what ultimately matters. Right? He will give you the answers when the time is appropriate. He'll give you the answers if you just keep seeking him and serving him and doing things for him, because your purpose is more about how you do the things that you're doing than what you're doing. Right? We need to know what God wants us to do. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying if you're waiting on God for a big answer, make sure everything else that you're doing in your life, that you're doing with a focus on him, that you're doing it for him, and he will take care of that big answer. He will. But you know what? Sometimes I think he delays in answering that big question because he's like, well, look at the rest of your life. Like, that's a mess. What are you doing over here? Why would I give you this when you can't even take care of that, right? If we're faithful in the little things, we'll be given much more. Take care of your faithful day-to-day things, the little things that you don't need me for, right? The air quotes. The things that you're not asking me about because you got that all figured out. How about you do those things for me, and then I'll answer this big question that you have over here. Have you ever thought about that? That's come to me a few times where I'm like, I am sorry, God. Like, my bad. My bad. Let me fix my focus. Let me start thinking more about doing the things that I'm doing for him, for his glory, because my purpose is to be faithful to him in all things. In all things. You are faithful, or when you're fulfilling your purpose, you are living to the praise of his glory. When you're faithful to him in all things, you're living to the praise of his glory. That was the end of the scripture in Ephesians. To do them to the praise of his glory. Man, all things to the praise of his glory. We just think the big things, right? The big things are to the praise of his glory. No, the little things are to the praise of his glory. Right? People that are teaching the children of this church, man, they're doing that to the praise of his glory. I hope that's what they're doing it for. For the praise of his glory. You know what? It may not be fun sometimes. There's things that we do that are not fun. People may clean here and it may not be fun. You may not enjoy it, but are you doing it to the praise of his glory? Like, what are you doing it for? Are you doing it just to check off a box like, I did my service this week? Or are you doing it because, you know what, I'm serving God. I'm doing this because I love God, because I want to serve him, And I know he's got something that he wants me to do, and I don't know what it is. Most of us will just do this instead. Right? We're going to sit on my hands while I wait for God to tell me that I'm supposed to sell everything and move to Uganda. Sign up to clean the church. Talk to your neighbor about Jesus. Right? Take care of your family. Love on your wife. Raise up your kids to know Jesus. How about you do those things? And be faithful to do all that you're doing as though you're doing it for the Lord. Because you love him. That is your purpose. You know, we need to start thinking a little bit less about what we do and think a little bit more about why we are doing it. People serve Jesus with joy when they remember that they're serving Jesus who saved them. Right? That's the thing. When I don't want to get up and do whatever in my day, I'll tell you another secret. There's things that I do here that I don't like to do. Right? Regardless if I'm being paid to do it or not. I don't like it and I don't want to do it. But when I remember, you know what? I'm not doing those things for this reason and that reason. I'm doing them because I'm doing them for Jesus. I'm doing them for my Savior. I'm doing them because, and I want to live my life for him. Now, when I can remember that, even those things I don't like to do are a whole lot better to go and do. Right? I can go and do them with joy. I can do them with excitement. Because I remember why I am doing them. So this morning I'm going to ask, are you using your gifts and talents and resources to just accomplish tasks or to bring praise and glory to the mighty name of Jesus? Man, that is fulfilling our purpose. That is fulfilling our purpose, is doing all things to him, being faithful to him in everything that we do. If you would stand with me in this place. Jason, if you'd come up. Father, we thank you and praise you this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you challenge us through your word. And but God, that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives. And Lord, I know that we hear things like this sometimes and we just think, yeah, that's what we're supposed to say. That's what we're supposed to believe. God, I pray that you, by the power of your Spirit, would make that true in our hearts and in our lives, that we would know that we truly have purpose, that we would know that we truly have worth, that God, it's not about if we're in full-time paid ministry. It's not about if we're moving to a foreign land. It's not about the people that are doing the big things. But God, it's about whether we are being faithful to you in all things. Lord, if we are living our life like we are alive and living for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that God, knowing our purposes, knowing, God, that you love us and that you have a plan for us, and that while we may not know that whole plan, we may not know all the pieces to the puzzle, that God, will be faithful with the pieces that you've given us. God, that we'll be obedient with those pieces that you've given us, and it's okay to keep trying to put them together as those pieces are revealed, that we can try to see what fits together, but God, that we'll just be faithful to care for what you have given us. God, I pray for joy. God, that we would have joy in serving you. God, that is our true purpose, is that communion with you, that being with you, that love that you have for us, that we could love you in the same way, in the same manner, that we could love each other, that we can love those around us, whether they're believers or unbelievers, that we could have that same unconditional love that you have for us, that you have for all people, that you desire that all would come to repentance. Father, we ask this morning, God, if anybody in this place is struggling with purpose, God, I pray that your word speaks to their hearts, and God, that they would believe it. We pray that the lies of the enemy be silenced in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that when he says that we're not worth it, when he says that you are finished, that God, we can remind him that on the cross, Jesus Christ said, it is finished. That our debt was paid in full, that we could be reconciled to the Father, that we could be forgiven, that we could be set free, that Satan, that hell and death, all those things are finished from our lives. Because you have overcome. And if we know and recognize and can remember our place is in you. And if you have overcome, then we have overcome. And so we ask right now that the lies of the enemy be broken off of your people in Jesus' name. We say that Satan, you have no place over the lives of those who belong to God. That you have been removed. Your influence removed. Your lies are brought into the light. They are dispelled by the light, by the truth of God's word that says he has a plan and he has a purpose for every life that he created. We pray for that freedom to ring true in our lives today. We love you, Lord. We submit to you, or we give our lives to you. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to shape and mold us. I pray that you would show us, God, if we don't know the bigger picture purpose, what we are supposed to do, those bigger decisions. God, as we trust you and as we are faithful in those little things, I pray that you would begin to reveal that bigger picture to us. God, I pray that this morning that you would just help us to be fixed on you, that our eyes would be upon you instead of our problems, that our eyes be on you instead of even what the calling is, what the answer is, that, Lord, if we would seek you, we will find all of those things. I pray for this morning for those who are weak in their faith, that, God, you would strengthen them. God, that the things that they go through in their life help to remind them, help them to know that, God, it's for your, they're molding, they're shaping, and they're strengthening so that they can do the purpose that you have set before them, Lord. We ask you, Lord, that today would be a day of victory as we go out from this place in a few moments, Lord. God, that we would leave this place encouraged and built up in our faith. God, I pray for as we know passion, as passion is revealed to our hearts, God, as the purpose is revealed, that the passion would grow. Lord, I pray that in this church, as people leave this place, that we could all have that passion of the new believer. God, that that's not something that's just reserved for when we first come to the faith, but God, it's found in our purpose. As we have purpose, the passion will birth, the passion will grow, it will be ignite a flame inside of us, Lord, one that will be contagious. And so we ask as we go from this place in a few moments, Lord, that as we leave, that we would leave ablaze for you. Hearts on fire for you. Jesus, that you would come, that you would baptize these people today with the Holy Spirit and fire. Lord, as we know that's your desire. As we know that your desire for us is that we would be an all-consuming fire for you. And we ask you today to have your way with us. Leave no stone unturned, Lord. Reveal to us the deep things, the deep secrets of our hearts, Lord, that we could surrender those things to you today, Lord. That we could live our lives for you. We thank you. We praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.